Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Karen, who's here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the year-long retreat last year. Welcome, Karen. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
It was good
to be here. It was an amazing year-long retreat last year, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I can't hear you very well. If you could speak up a little bit.
Okay, you bet. I'll do my best to speak up. Is that better?
That's better. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. So are there any specific practice successes or insights, favorite moments you had during the year-long retreat you'd like to share with us?
Well, from all of the retreats, one of the most important things for me is to be able to be staying plugged in with practice throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
And to have the offerings that we are given, we've had practice intensives. I think there was an at-home workshop once, and then combined that with the other opportunities that we have, it just is a really way to help me stay focused during the year. Even though I have a deep commitment to practice,
yeah.
I need all the help I can get.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good point. Thanks for that, Karen, that, even with a really deep, heartfelt commitment to practice, we could all use all the help we can get. And these year-long retreats with that sustained focus over the course of the year, what a great way, like you said, to just stay plugged into practice and then to have all these wonderful activities to kind of help keep us right on track with the practice intensives and all the different aspects of it.
Yes, yes. And I love how the curriculum changes over the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how over the years I've been doing this and how each year brings us, my projection and me for sure, to a deeper place of practice. Each theme seems to build on each other. We've emptied our teacup this year, letting go of conditioning and ready to fill, every moment a way to fill with presence. But I really think we're going to be focusing that this year, and I'm really excited about having the daily activities.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, talk about a way to stay plugged into practice, right? I mean, every day,
yeah.
Conditioning doesn't
uh-huh.
get a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
yes,
I love
the phone
too,
calls.
Karen. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, yes, well, the phone calls, and then I guess there'll be daily emails or contacts in that way. And
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just absolutely supported to show up for that commitment that we've made to the heart.
Yeah. Yes.
I love what you were saying earlier, too, about, every year we have a different focus. And it's so helpful, right? Because conditioning would love to kind of take practice and turn it into something like, yeah, I've already seen that, already looked at that. Kind of, if it can get us into thinking that we know, anything, really, then it's kind of got us. But to have continually these fresh lenses to look through, these fresh perspectives and new practices, it kind of keeps us keeps us on our toes, keeps us very supported.
Yes, and everything to me, I can, I can listen to similar recordings or the same recordings several times, and I hear something new. I can recordings that I made from last year's year-long retreat, like from the practice intensive. They're in shuffle, and I hear those, and they come on, and each time I hear something new, it resonates in that deeper way.
Oh, wow. That's such a wonderful point you're making there, that you can go back and listen to old recordings and see every time you come back to it, it's like it's brand new. It's like, it's kind of like, we're traveling in a spiral almost. Like we keep coming around to the same place, but every time we're a new person, practice is deeper, or it's a completely different experience. Just the joy in, as we sometimes talk about, the spirit of repetition, and also being supported with a brand new lens and a brand new focus every year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But I'm sitting here feeling just the joy just from participating. I've been under the weather today, and just sitting on the sitting on hold before the phones call started, and my heart was beating fast, and I felt the energy rising, and it's really good medicine.
It is such good medicine. The energy of life showing up to participate in life. It's about the best medicine there is, isn't it?
It is. I'm just so grateful, and I just would encourage anyone that's just the least bit interested to go ahead and sign up. I believe there's even an option for, you know, an extended payment method. And
oh,
so there's,
yeah.
I just saw that today because, actually, I haven't signed up yet. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's a good reminder to all of us, and thanks a lot. You know, I'll just mention to the folks out there who are listening who may not yet be aware of it, we are, like Karen has said, we're kicking off another wonderful year-long retreat and announcing our practice focus for 2017 this Saturday on a live streaming webcast. So if you haven't signed up for that yet, make sure to mark it on your calendars and stay tuned for more information.
Yes, and there's no cost for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky enough to be joining, I'm going over and join a sitting group for that day, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, what a wonderful gift to give oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
To show up for the sitting group, yeah. And participate. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is great, Karen. As we're talking, is there anything dropping in around, favorite parts of the year-long practice from last year, or favorite kind of insights that you saw along the way?
Favorite insights. It's really hard to pin down. You know,
I just
love everything. I really can't be specific. I think I love the opportunity, as I said before, just to have the themes. I mean, I was looking at the different subjects from the practice intensives that we did, and just the themes that we did, just the opportunity to stay plugged in every single way. I just it's hard to be specific, really, for me.
Yeah, but it sounds like just in general, the process of being so plugged into practice and having that depth of support was kind of the highlight of the experience, it sounds like. And I'm right there.
It is. Yeah. It's having that support and being grateful for the willingness to choose it and to be so in love with practice and making it, the focus of my life.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. What a great reminder to all of us to, you know, as we're wrapping up one year-long retreat and year-long practice focus and getting ready to move into another one, to stop and take a little moment to offer deep, deep gosho and incredible thanks and appreciation to the courageous, willing practitioner who shows up over and over again to make practice the central part of our lives, to really give everything we got and to show up and to participate in these ways. It's just such a gift.
A deep gosho to the curriculum and Ashwini and Sherry and everyone who brings this to us. You know, it's just I just feel blessed in every way.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Blessed in every way, and deep gosho to Sherry and Ashwini and the incredible curriculum. I mean, that's as you were talking about that. That's just. For me, that's one of my favorites, too, one of the highlights, just the incredible ways that the things are kind of laid out and just the wonderful kind of lens that we're offered to look through. Such a gift.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for all of us to participate, you know, now that I think about it, one of my favorite aspects last year was the guidance appointment that we had.
Oh, yeah.
And then how we could read everybody's responses and, I mean, everyone's questions and guidance, and actually I could relate to every single one of them.
Yeah.
They were written for me.
Yeah, the gift of Sangha, to be able to participate in that, and everyone writing in with guidance questions and then receiving that guidance from the guide and just seeing that every single one of those things applies to all of us, right? I mean, there's something for all of us in all of it.
And yes, and if I can't see it at that moment, I have the experience that eventually I will.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. If it's not clear in that moment, you know that if you just stick with it, it will be clear eventually.
Yes, yes. And this, you know, what this really shows is that it takes all of us, you know, for us to show up, you know, we all matter. I remember one of the earliest encouragements we were given, if we don't think we matter, then we're mistaken. It takes all of us to show up. There's someone sitting at the top of the room waiting to ring the bell, and that person benefits from all of us showing up. The practice benefits. The practice grows and strengthens by our participation.
Practice grows and strengthens by our participation, and we all matter. Our participation really matters. It's every one of us showing up and giving our very best that makes this practice what it is. So, but what a wonderful inspiration, encouragement, and reminder. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I see we're already up against the hour. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we end?
Well, I'm really grateful for this opportunity because it's one of those life gifts that really sets conditioning on edge.
Yeah.
And, you know, its first response was, no!
Yeah.
I'm really happy to have the opportunity to turn towards my heart and participate. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight and sharing your experience, Karen. And, we'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Karen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great as well. I really enjoyed that. Made me very excited about the event that's coming up on Saturday and then the year ahead for us. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know, I often, are you going to be there Saturday?
Yes, I will.
Oh, good. Yeah. So I often think, and we kid about this, you know, we leave a retreat and say, you know, I think that's the best one yet. And with the practice focus for each year, I get to the same place, you know, and I think, well, now when we have one of them, how are we going to follow that act? You know, that was astounding. And then whoop, here it comes. And I was thinking when Lakota and Karen were talking that one of the things that I hear, and maybe you can help me with this, Michael, or Ashwini, who I'm sure is listening in, will text us and tell us. But one of the things that I've heard from so many people is when you get text messages throughout the day or email messages throughout the day, it really changes everything because it's not a just I turn my attention to practice in the morning, and then, you know, conditioning can kind of have at me all day long until maybe I get to the end of the day and, you know, maybe it drops in to make a recording or something. But what I realize is, gosh, that was a lot of time not present. And then, of course, we're meant to feel bad and blah, blah, blah. But when we have those reminders during the day, things that bring us back during the day, it really turns up the flame under practice. And I think that that's part of what's going on with this year-long retreat. Is that your understanding?
Do you mean that we'll be getting text messages as well as part of the event?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I assumed it was coming in an email each day, but maybe it'll come as a text, and that would be fabulous.
Yeah, well, I think we get our assignment. We get our assignment, but then I think we get reminders during the day, too. I hope I haven't set something up and people are, you know, chewing their fingernails and going, oh, my gosh, why doesn't that woman be quiet now? She's just tripled or quadrupled our work or something. So, so here it is. Here's the text message. Yes, reminder tweets throughout the day as well. So wow. I just think that is one of the most extraordinary things going, that for an entire year. So it's not even, and we have a lot of practice to plug into, as you well know. But to have it for an entire year, that kind of, there's an assignment, there's something we're focusing on, we get together, we talk about it to explore it and share our experience of it, and then we're reminded throughout the day to turn our attention to the next assignment so that the next day we can talk about that one. I mean, this is big. It really is big. You know, this is the equivalent, kind of, not really, because being at the monastery, of course, is its own just incredibly outrageously wonderful experience. But it's a lot like putting oneself into that kind of situation where we don't get to just drift off for hours and hours and hours on end, because here it comes, and we come back, and all right, yes, and that's what I, and hopefully people will take that opportunity then to record and listen to what they're experiencing, and practice is just getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
Mm. Yes.
So I'm very excited.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, deeper and deeper into our daily lives, wherever we are.
Mm-hmm. Wherever a person is. So it's not any longer, well, you know, I can't really practice because I have kids. I can't really practice because I have a really demanding job. I can't really practice because I live so far away from the rest of Sangha. I can't really, you know, no, I'm sorry. This is a coming into your life in a way that exceeds all of our other efforts to track people down and speak to the heart, you know, and that's really what it is. Because conditioning just works so hard to drag us down into those negative places, and to have something that comes in and says, no, you're fine. Remember? Here, get present. Yeah. Now what's going on with you? Okay. And remind yourself what a great person you are, and that you're practicing, and that this is amazing. And yeah, going to be good.
Yes. Yes. And I was just reminded of what Karen said, that we all matter. And it seems like this year-long project is reminding us of that and pulling each of us in from where we are.
Yes, yes. And as you know, we did the Seeing Through the Eyes of Love for the last part of the year after the election, because people were so, so many people in Sangha, so many people, period, but were upset and kind of going into depressed, despairing places. And when left alone with that kind of force, not an external force of negativity, but that just onslaught of negativity inside the head, life can get pretty miserable. And when we realize, no, there are lots and lots and lots of folks who are doing everything they can to focus on what's good, what's working, what's helpful, what's kind, and we just reach out and hold hands with as many of those people as we can, we get a sense that, yes, every single person matters.
Yes, yes. It's like a hold on to your cushion kind of moment.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It really is. And it's just going to take practice to such a, I don't even know what the word is, but it's just going to get really clear what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing to try to keep us trapped in a dark little place with it. And that there's this alternative that's ever present for us. Yeah.
It's good news.
Yeah, it's good news. And we're going to be completely different people at the end of this year, assuming, you know, we're here at the end of this year. We're going to be completely different people. We'll check back in and look at where we were when we started with this little project, and we will make lots of wonderful recordings about the transformation that happened in this year of participation and support.
Great.
Woohoo.
Great. We're kicking it off right now.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Although, you know, Ashwini's got a program for us that has nothing to do with this. It's just going to, you know, it's going to, yeah, we're going to have Rumi and Jesus and the Buddha and, wow, you know, all of our favorite folks gathered together to launch us into this new year.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
And I have announcements here.
Good.
Okay, here we go. As we often say, joy is what's there when you stop doing everything else. Join Sangha this Saturday, January 21st, at our Welcoming 2017 Joyfully video workshop with you, Sherry. The workshop is free, but registration is required.
Yes, because it costs us a lot of money to put that on. So if people would say that they want to participate and then actually participate, it would be so lovely for us. Money well spent.
Yes. In 2016, we practiced emptying the teacup and losing interest in the conversation and conditioned mind. In 2017, our year-long retreat will focus on choosing the unconditional and from a state of presence, projecting joy. The retreat will feature daily assignments and a radio show every weekday, and a payment installment plan is being offered.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun because I don't know if this isn't giving anything away, but it basically what people are paying is a dollar a day. That's what the year-long retreat is going to be. It's a dollar a day for practice, which I think, you know, given the kinds of things we spend a dollar a day on, is kind of a bargain. So when we see the price tag all at once, it's like, ooh, that seems like a lot of money, especially because, and I've heard people say this, you know, I also want to do the email class to start the year, and I also want to sign up for the retreats that I'm going to do. So, and so the payment plan is very good, and then also kind of breaking it down as people like to do with that sort of thing. So what are you paying for your, you know, your cable or whatever that is, whatever they call that now. I'm a little out of the loop on that, but you know what I mean. On the entertainment. Yeah, what is that a day? And when we think about it per day cost, we think, oh, well, that's pretty manageable. So we want to think about practice in that same way.
Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot feel blessed if we are attending to conditioned mind. Only when we move into the moment is blessed our experience. For an exploration of directing the attention to joyful appreciation of all that is, sign up now for Sherry's email class, Oh Happy Blessed, starting January 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Coming right on up.
Coming right on up, that's true. For these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a focus on one topic, please, of about 5 minutes is great.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay, great. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Hello. I feel really blessed because I usually work nights on Tuesdays, and so I had some cancellations, so I just decided to call in and then put myself in the queue and just see what happened.
Look at that. Miracles abound. Yeah, I haven't heard your voice on an open air in a very long time. So it's
very
lovely to have you. Yeah. Well, tell us what's going on.
Oh, so much. I listened to last week's radio show yesterday and then again this morning. I have been repeating Scott and Lakota. Conversation. Like, I think I've played it now, I think, 6 or 7 times. And
I hear you. Wasn't that just one of the most amazing things you've ever had the pleasure to tune into?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it spoke to me. I just want to give a plug for sites. A few years ago, I signed up for the first, I can't remember when you guys started offering the year-long retreats, but it felt like such a big deal, to do it. And the more I sign up for, and the voices get really loud and go, oh my gosh, you can't do that, and where's the time, whatever. The more I sign up for, the deeper my practice, the more I feel connected, and the more it proves the voices lie.
Yes.
And it's completely changed everything when I kind of just dove headfirst into practice and commitments and the offerings and really do intentionally say yes to as much as
humanly
I feel like
possible.
I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to underline that a little bit because what the voices use is you can't afford it, you don't have the time. Usually those for most people.
Mm.
It's too much money, it's too much time. And so there's the implication, and we're meant to believe it, that other things will suffer. You'll have to give up things that you really want. You won't have time for the things that you care about. And what we prove to ourselves, and I bet you would agree with this, is that it's exactly the opposite. There's the lie, right? Because, in fact, you're more energized, you're more organized, you're having the thing that brings you the happiness, the joy, the contentment, the satisfaction that you want, because that's part of being present, not having a new whatever it is that money would be spent on. And so it actually gives us, not only does it give us everything that we want in our lives to be completely grounded in practice, but it frees us up to be able to have things that the voices never would let us have. Other things. We can actually enjoy other things because even though practice costs too much money, too much time, you're also not able to go on a vacation or you're not able to do this, whatever it is that you would like to do. So that deprivation mentality that conditioning is, it's across the board. And when we get rid of that, we find ourselves in an abundance mentality.
Yes. And the piece that I'm really looking at and bringing to my attention this year is this karmic process around avoidance and procrastination and really actually just being so when something's needed in my life to take care of, I go to this identified place of a younger person, and things don't get done. And so listening to Scott and Lakota talk this morning around it, the two nuggets that have just been ringing in my ears is intelligence is learning. So I loved how Scott laid it out if we are the intelligence that animates, right? If that and so
mm-hmm.
When it comes to
let's accept that as our premise, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And then so when he said that, if I'm gonna look at the solar right system, the panel right, and then believe that I can't even repeat it, but because he just said it so beautifully. But what I took from it, so I have this thing around organization. So do I really know how I am about organization? Right? No, I don't. I don't know at all, because what I know is what the voices have been telling me and what all of my experience hasn't been authentic. It's been veiled.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So we could say that you, authentic human being, haven't really been there to have an experience of any of this, because conditioning is talking to ego, and ego is talking to conditioning, and they've got this whole story about how Laura is and who she is and what she does and what's wrong with that, and they just go back and forth, but you actually don't have your own direct experience of what is true.
Yes, and I'm not, and so then I love that next piece when he said, you know, so I went down, had a direct experience of it, and then there was, and then to let, if intelligence is who this human being is, then I can trust the learning process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I get to have an experience of learning, right? If I can get out of the conversation with those voices, and with, I mean, they are so mean, and they are meant to keep me in a place of shame, so that I'm not available to life, so I can learn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh gosh. And don't you just wish that kindergarten started off with this kind of, because it goes back so far for us that you should already know it. And if you don't know it, well, there's proof that there's something wrong with you. So now feel bad and be ashamed and just stay stuck in that place because it's hopeless.
Yeah.
Or,
yes, and so, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, and so the other piece around this that I was having another conversation where I got some really great feedback is the voices were trying to come in to say, well, I mean, my gosh, you know, you have made some really, right, you know, there is no, you know, like waiting for a transformation to happen. And so what I've been sitting with today is all the things that I've been attending to, right, there's been like transformations happening that are allowing me to get to a place where I'm ready to take this on now.
Yes.
And plugging into practice in the way that I've been plugging in has been what's allowed me to get to a place where I can take on, because this is a major thing. The content is organization, but the transformation is already happening.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
and I'm
exactly
not,
so.
Conditioning doesn't want to let me see that because then I'm not. Then it wants to take me to a depressed, you know, hopeless state.
Yes, where you would just spend your life being beaten up by it and giving your life force to it, right?
Yeah.
Which is the name of that game. Yeah. So with the way that you're approaching it, realizing that the transformation is happening. That's how you're to the point where you're ready to take this on. And what you're going to bring to that is an enthusiasm for learning. So the intelligence that animates you certainly is capable, as Scott pointed out, of learning how to be organized.
Yeah.
Right? And since you're the little, as Ashwini says, the node of intelligence that's going to be in that process, well, there, then we'll see that manifest as Laura learns how to be organized. And, you know, the fun part of this for me with practice, the thing that we get to see over and over, is that very often it's as simple as not being engaged with the voices anymore.
Mm.
That the whole problem, the whole disorganization and not following through and procrastination, all of that happens because we're in a conversation in conditioned mind, or we're listening to one, right? And when we drop that and get here, well, then, you know, life just gives us the next step and the next step and the next step. Pretty soon you realize, oh, it's all put away. Everything's organized, in good shape.
Yeah. So I'm just so deeply grateful. And just for anyone out there who is just like, oh, I don't know, maybe next year or maybe the next one.
Right.
Just do it.
Just jump in. Just jump in. Yeah. It's kind of, the jump in is a nice image because it's like being tortured by a fear of drowning because I don't know how to swim.
Mm.
Well, the answer to that is learn how to swim.
Get in the water. Don't read a book about it.
Yeah.
Get in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in the water. Don't sit somewhere reading books about swimming and being terrified by voices that say, you're going to drown. We just jump in and, as you say, prove that they're lies.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that people canceled, but I'm glad that people canceled.
Oh, I'm grateful. Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry. I love the enthusiasm. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Well, that's the thing. As soon as we start having our own direct experience of what's possible, then, you know, those wheels start turning faster and faster and faster. It's like, I want more of that, more of that, more of that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet from Massachusetts.
Well, hello, Janet. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good.
Yeah, I've been listening to the Seeing with the Eyes of Love recording from December 13th.
Uh-huh.
And
I, of course, don't remember which one that is, but...
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay, good.
You and Ashwini were talking about, the quote was from David Hawkins, and it was, love is misunderstood to be an emotion. It's actually a state of awareness, way of being in the world. So I really like that idea, and it's really, really helpful. And then you went on to talk about feelings. And I'll quote you. You said, we have to get over how we feel. We're so conditioned to believe that everything is dependent on how I feel. So I'm struggling with that because for so many years I've been told, you know, you have to acknowledge your feelings. You have to process your feelings. You got to deal with your feelings. You got to, you know, that's the only way to have an aware kind of life and somebody who's awake.
I know.
And it's the people who are dealing with their feelings that have all the trouble. So I'm reeling. I'm not sure what to do with all my feelings now.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your experience? Is doing that giving you the life experience you want to have?
Well, I mean, we're talking about 40 years of trying to acknowledge my feelings and take care of my feelings.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time that it's ever been challenged. I don't know. I'm a bit boggled by this.
Mm. Okay. I would suggest that, and of course, because of the line of work I'm in and the conversations I have with people tell me, you know, they like to give me round figure dollar amounts for how much they've spent on trying to do exactly that. Make peace with their parents. They're now 60, 70, 80 years old, and they're trying to make peace with their parents and, you know, trying to deal with their feelings and all this. And people who journal will, you know, often laughingly report that, so, you know, now I'm 50, and if I go back 30 years and look at my journals, basically I was writing the same thing when I was 20 that I'm writing at 50. So, And so when we, here's what it comes down to for me. There is a direct experience that you can have of something. So say you lose someone that you care about, and it's loss. It's painful. It's sad, right? And there's that experience as pure experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the conversation and conditioned mind that can be everything from, you didn't really care as much as you could have, because if you had, and then it'll give an endless list of all of the things that you should have said, done, and been if you had actually loved this person, okay,
mm-hmm.
which can throw people into a state of torture that some don't come out of. Okay,
right.
And then the next one is you're somewhere, you're with friends, and you're having a good time, and the voice comes in your head and says, how can you be laughing and having a good time when your loved one is dead? Okay, there's another one. Or you're somewhere, you know, that's really beautiful, and you're feeling all of that beauty, and the voice comes in and says, oh, but wouldn't it be so much better if so-and-so were here with you? Now, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Those are mm-hmm. not feelings, okay? Mm. That is manipulation that Hollywood attempts to emulate, okay? So that's all I'm hoping people will look into and differentiate those two, a legitimate experience of whatever it is that the label would be. Not to assume that it's true, because a lot of people, think they're angry, and then when they really start looking into it, they realize, well, actually, that's not what's going on at all. I'm actually afraid, or I'm actually disappointed, or I'm actually, my feelings are hurt, or all kinds of things. When we bring awareness to what's going on, and the information, this is the best part, the information that we're looking for arises in the moment. We don't have to go into a conversation in the head about some story about why this is the way it is, or why I feel the way, or this is what happened. We don't have to do any of that. Everything exists right in this moment. We can be present to it, and we can be free.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me at this point, it's going to be, to borrow a saying from another similar tradition, it's going to be a fake it till you make it kind of thing. Okay, I'll think on that. I'll try that. I'll pretend that I get it, and maybe someday I will.
The thing is, you don't, I would encourage you not to do that, okay? That would be the equivalent of you've decided to take a math class, and the teacher says, and you know, you can use this to do this, to solve this problem. And you say, well, I guess I'll just fake it until I make it, and accept that no, we don't want to do that. There's steps, right? There math is very much like Zen, actually. There are steps. You do this, then you do this, then you do this, then you do this. And if you do those, then you will get to, with math, it's whatever the solution is to that. With Zen, it's your own direct experience of whatever it is. So it's not a belief. It's not a matter of belief. And we do have to stay open. You know, we have to be open to the possibility. Just like, I don't know if you were there for Scott and Lakota last week, but if Scott wants to learn about photovoltaics, then, and he doesn't know anything about photovoltaics, he knows that it's going to be steps to take. And if he takes those steps and pays attention, stays present, stays out of that voice that says, you're not good at this, you're never going to get it, why don't you just quit, because this is not your thing. If he just keeps taking those steps, ignores that voice, takes those steps, one of these days down the road, he'll realize, wow, I actually know a lot about photovoltaics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So can you give me a first step?
Zen is exactly, well, I would say that you're taking it, because we're in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's it. You know, it is awareness practice, and we are we're practicing awareness to the best of our ability all the time. So I don't know how long you've been around us, but you know that we have a ton of stuff that people can participate in. So there's any place that you want to get started, you can you can come on retreat with us. You can do an email class. You can do what you're doing now, call into the radio show. You can start meditating. We have virtual meditation groups that you can sit with people. You can have a coach. You know, there's just a lot of things that a person can do, and that's what we're doing. So we're just the next step. The next, I see what I see. So Laura was just talking about hearing Scott and Lakota talk, and then, I see. And we realize, well, that applies to me. So a door opens or a window opens, right? And I see a mm-hmm. little bit more and a little clearer. And then I just keep going. And the thing that is kind of one of the hallmarks of our practice is this little trio. Pay attention to everything. Don't believe anything. And don't take anything personally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So believing is a killer. So the old Zen saying that goes with it is that so? So mm-hmm. anytime anybody says anything, the response is that so? Well, I'm going to look into that. Now, if it's a voice in your head, you can probably pretty quickly prove to yourself that you can ignore it, because that is the land of hogwash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just start on the path and trust in the process.
That's exactly right. That's exactly okay. right. You cannot go wrong. And so uh-huh. we had a T-shirt forever that said, it doesn't matter how slowly you go as long as you do not stop.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly Confucius said it. And mm-hmm. that's the case. You know, we just one moment after the other, we're just paying attention. Is that so? All right. Well, I'll look into that. Thank you for that. Uh-huh. Okay. Good. I'm not going to believe it, but I am going to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Great talking with you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Janet. Another fun conversation, Sherry. I appreciated that.
Mm. I love that. You know, here I am. Ready to get started. Let's go. What do we do? You know, what do we do first?
Yes. Yes.
Good. Beginner's mind.
The willingness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program now, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. And that was a fun ad, Sherry.
That was. That was a surprise.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're mm-hmm. full of surprises here.
Oh, we are. It's a new year. We have a new what is that called? The news update host. And we have a new coaching advertisement person.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call that. Speaker. Yeah. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it?
Always something new.
Always something new. We don't want to miss anything. Yeah. We gotta stick close. All right.
Perfect. Okay, we have another caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, it's Anne from New York.
Well, hello, Anne.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastically well. I really didn't think I was going to get on. I was kind of a last-minute thing. So, yay.
Well, good. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I really wanted to just say thank you for practice and everything. And today's peace quote really just connected with me about to just disidentify with ego, because actually I was going to call into the radio show and ask a question about blah-de-blah that was really ego-based. And then I realized, no, I just need to choose unconditional love and I'm going to listen to the show. And then I just
wow.
was so having so much fun with what everyone else was talking about. I'm like, I want to say a practice works and it's amazing and that's that.
And that's all from Anne.
That's,
well, I will say, before it sounds like you're heading out, but I love that peace quote too. And the thing that I love so much, Wei Wu Wei is one of my favorite people. And to hear him express something that is so like our practice, that always just thrills me. Whenever I run into anybody who kind of says things the way we do, but with just that little twist that can help us go, oh, yeah, okay, I get that. It's kind of what we were just talking about with Janet, huh? Yeah, I get that. So that was a dynamite piece quote. That's recorder worthy, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Thank you for that.
All right. All right. Well, was that it? That's it?
That's it. Yeah, that's all.
All right. Well, great.
Thank you so
great to
much.
Hear your voice. Thank
great
you.
Great to hear your voice every time. And I always like when you say, I'm here, when you were doing that for Seeing with the Eyes of Love. That was always really fun. Here I am. That's what you said. Here I am.
Here I am.
So, yeah, here I am. We all show up, and here we are. So thank you.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night, and thank you for joining us, Anne. And we have another call here, Sharon.
Okay.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Jen in Rhinebeck.
Well, hello. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well, thank you. I'm I was excited by those conversations about learning, all these different ways to think about learning. I
mm-hmm.
just got back from the second session of the Feldenkrais practitioner training. And have been thinking a lot about learning and, my experience with that is just opening up whole new areas inside practice that I haven't visited before. So it's been really fun.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes. So, so to apply, so that years ago, as you know, we went through that learning to love learning process.
Yes, one of my
I was
favorites.
Just convinced
yeah.
somebody was going to write a book on, but
oh.
they didn't. So yes, when we put ourselves in a situation that the voices are not comfortable with because mm-hmm. they have to be outside their comfort zone in trying to get us back into their comfort zone. So, you know, something is hard, you don't really understand it. Are you really getting it? And how long is this going to take? And maybe you should just quit. And then when we mm-hmm. move past that and realize, oh, no, it's just really fun to learn something, fun to participate, mm-hmm. fun to be present. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so perfect because what I was experiencing was after the training was 10 days long and after the first couple of days, just feeling so completely different and the big pull that I was feeling was like, I got to get back to my baseline, you know, which was just the voices, which is just conditioning being like, this doesn't feel familiar. The body feels very strange. You know, where's all of our default settings? You know, let's do the fact
right.
that, you know.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory here. And let's get back to what I, ego, am familiar with and comfortable with. You're out there.
Exactly.
You're out there in dangerous place where I'm having trouble controlling you.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's so much fun that for that practice, it's so compatible with our awareness practice. It's amazing. But its avenue is through the body, and it really is sort of breaking down your self-image through this gentle movement practice in the body. And it's just, it's kind of amazing to me. You can like lay on the floor and roll around and do these, you know, funny movements for a couple of hours, and somehow that completely befuddles conditioning, you know? It's just really amazing. It's almost just like if you just do anything different, you know, then it just is going to baffle it, and it's not going to know what to do, and then it makes it very obvious because it scrambles.
Yes, yes, and it's likely to say something that will catch a person's attention. It's in a new context, and it's trying to use the same old language and the same old arguments. And it really stands out.
Yes.
So that's, of course, why it's so important to us always to have yoga at our retreats for that same experience. And one of the things that I fight hardest for always, so people will do yoga, and usually it's an hour of yoga that we do, and it's Iyengar, it's not Ashtanga, it's not challenge yoga, it's take care of the body and be present, be kind yoga, and people will want to finish the yoga class and get up and go to the bathroom, and I say, no, don't do that, don't do that, because in that space between getting up from your mat and going to the bathroom and coming back, you've lost everything that was going to benefit you in your sitting practice that's going to follow that. The point is you take care of the body in that way, and you go immediately into sitting. And that's that's the 1-2 power punch. So,
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what I've been noticing with the Feldenkrais practice is this I'm trying all sorts of things in new ways, and just simple things like that. Like, you know, like actually going to the bathroom was one of them. Normally I take a Feldenkrais class down the street, and I'll go to the bathroom before I leave the house. And then I'll go to the bathroom again when I get to the place right before the class, just in case, you know, and
just in case.
I didn't, you know, it's like, you know what? I don't think I have to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
You know?
Yes. Yes. And if as long as conditioning can keep us in the same grooves, we never question something like that. And we're meant never to question something like that. And it's like you know, you see people training dogs, and they'll do things just to train the dog, and just to confirm for both parties that the dog is being trained. And it's such a wonderful picture of what ego does with human beings. So you will do all of these things. You don't know why you're doing them, but you're compelled to do them. And it's just kind of a little, when we start breaking it down, seeing through it, we realize, well, it's just kind of a little message from ego that I'm in charge of you. I'm in control. You will go to the bathroom when I tell you to. You won't when I tell you not to. You'll eat and drink when I tell you to. You'll go to bed when I tell you to. You're my human. And don't be confused about it. And we start doing these things that break those patterns, and we become kind of many times in a horrified sort of way aware of how unconscious we are and how controlled we are.
Yes, and how much I have thought of things, how much I think that I'm doing something to be helpful, and I'm not, you know, helpful to myself. Like I'm thinking in particular, I've been looking at physical pain and discomfort, and, you know, part of what I'm looking at is like, oh, if I go to my neck to see if there's a problem all the time, you know, it's like poking a toothache. You know, does it hurt now? Does it hurt now? Does it hurt now? Does it still hurt? Does it still
hurt? And amazingly, it does.
It always hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, what am I reinforcing in that process? And I, you think I had been thinking at first, it's like, oh, I'm just trying to be careful for this person and care for her and, you know, make sure she's comfortable. And it's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's what's been going on.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Reinforcing her infirmities is not actually supportive. And yet, for so many people, it takes me back to one of my favorite examples of this with my little dog, Tuffy. When she got older, she got arthritis. And so I asked her vet, you know, should I give her something, you know, like a little baby aspirin or something? And he said, no, because you don't want to mask the symptoms. When it hurts, she won't do anything. And when it doesn't, she'll enjoy her life. And I thought, I want to do that.
Yes.
Instead of, I'm going to spend my whole life braced against the fact that something hurt once.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then maybe it hurts once a week, you know, or whatever. Yeah.
But instead of having a direct experience of the pain and then being open to, okay, what now? We just it just turns into a story, a conversation, and we live in that conversation. And as you're noticing, increasingly we live in that conversation instead of in the body.
Yes, that's right. And as I'm as I'm seeing this all in these new, from these new angles, it's like there's payoff in other areas too that I'm, you know, that I'm not necessarily. It's one of the things I talk about a lot. I think is like, you know, I'm not tackling areas head on, but somehow they're still affected by it. You know, and I'm thinking in particular, like, you know, the stuff going on in politics right now and this week and what's happening and every, you know, it's like. I'm consciously choosing to not do the habits that I've always done to stay informed, quote unquote. And you know, I've been, the image that keeps coming to me is that is like driving a car, and normally conditioning seems to be in the driver's seat, and depending on the day, I may be in the passenger seat, I may be in the way back, I may be like tied up in the trunk some days, you know. But it's like I'm in the driver's seat, and not in a sense of like I'm controlling my life. It's like
I'm
not letting conditioning have the driving, the steering wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, you're here for it. You're here, present, being guided, making choices, and aware of making those choices.
Yeah. And when things come up, like the other thing going on right now is I live in a cottage on someone's property. And my landlords are selling the property. So the house just went on the market, and I've been here for 10 years, and, you know, I adore my landlords. And so there's huge potential for things to change and pretty soon. And most days I'm like, okay. You know, there's moments where my stomach kind of drops out. You know, there's like a sort of fear. You know, I go right down into the first chakra of like, where am I going to live? Am I going to be okay? But then it happens really quickly. What's going
to
happen to me? And it's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to me. Could be exciting.
Yes.
Probably
yes.
Will, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely will be exciting. And and then on occasion, the voices in conditioned mind will try to turn that into fear and dread and
absolutely.
And, oh, my God, instead of, whee, which is what's actually going on.
Which is what's actually going on. Yeah. And I just feel much more of a capacity to be like, wow, if you're not right about that, then you're probably not right about this either, voices.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, as
so
a matter of fact, when I review, you've never been right about
right
anything.
Ever.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with, like, yeah. Okay, this is interesting, you know? Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of panicking about, you know, the next president or the where am I going to live or anything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and with that, I've been looking at that so much lately, of course, because everybody else has. And just looking at the spiritual perspective that I'm gonna operate from, and I would offer anybody else, is that if we stay focused on yes, let's just stay focused on yes. How do you want the world to be? Put your energy into that. Not putting our energy into no, into fear, into hatred, into judgment, but just how do we want the world to be? Take all of that life force, all of that energy, and say yes to whatever life is calling each one of us to, so that we are contributing everything we've got to making this the world that that we want it to be.
Yes, that makes so much sense. You know, the idea that we talk about of, you know, one process doesn't lead to another. So we have to be the yes if we actually want the yes in the world.
Oh, wow, Jen. Beautifully stated. Beautiful. I actually, now if you'd ask me, does one process lead to another, I would say, well, no, of course it doesn't. But the way you just applied that is so beautiful. If we want the yes, if we want yes, if we want a yes world, then we got to be the yes. Because being the no in hopes that the no is going to lead to a yes, that's just very silly. And that is exactly being in that position is where conditioned mind, where ego wants us to be, because it's not only is it unhappy, it's going to be failure. So
it's
huge.
I don't want this. This isn't right. Then that's
and what I've got is I don't want this. This isn't right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's very sad, and it's funny as soon as we see it. So
Yes, and I'm just having so much fun with it, like coming in through the body as an approach, like not a familiar approach to me, but like I'm doing things like, you know, using my mouse on the opposite side, brushing my teeth with the opposite hand, like just trying to befuddle the brain as much as possible, you know, to be able to notice all of these assumptions that I've been
breaking those habits. If I always cross my arms this way, well, can I cross them the other way? I love it.
So it's really fun.
I love it.
Yeah,
it is. Oh, thank you, Jen. Great talking with
you.
Take good care.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And Sherry, we are just minutes and seconds away from 6 o'clock.
I know. It's just kind of magical, isn't it?
Yes. It was a great show.
Good.
And
it was a great show. I loved it. Loved talking with everybody. It was a great deal of fun. Thank you, as always, for being here and making it happen for us. And I'll talk to you on Saturday and then look forward to next Tuesday. All right.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Michael. Good night.
Good night.